This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening, and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Mario Ritter in Washington.
The armyworm this year is bad. It's really bad. As you can see, our plants have been ravished by these worms.
That's farmer Mbozwiza Nkube on the infestation of fall armyworms in Zimbabwe. Also, lawyers protest in Algeria over the president's plan to seek a fifth term. The price of bread has forced some Zimbabweans to change their diet, and another deadly bombing in Somalia. We have these stories and more. So stay with us. There's lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. In Zimbabwe, the price of bread is forcing citizens to look for alternatives to go with the food that is also in short supply. As Columbus Mvunga reports from VOA, from Harare, President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government says it is working to ensure bread is affordable.
Bread in Zimbabwe now costs $2 a loaf or higher, making it beyond the reach of many in the poverty-stricken country. That has not stopped Zimbabweans from enjoying their favorite morning drink tea without bread, as 63-year-old Gibson Nema says. He says bread is now expensive, so they have taken to eating Zimbabwe's main staple food, sadza, a thick porridge made of cornmeal. At times, sweet potatoes, green corn cobs, butternuts, or potatoes. He says they no longer miss bread because it is expensive. He says if the government would reduce the price of bread and flour, they would be able to afford it. As it is, Nema says he cannot pay for the rest of his meal needs if he buys bread. So he will use mainly potatoes and only buy bread when he has money. Nema says the business of selling potatoes and other bread substitutes is booming. But that is not the case for Alwin Mutero, who sells bread.
People used to buy bread a lot. But these days they're not buying bread. You can check the shops, there used to be a lot of bread, but these days people are no longer buying like what they used to do before. Because the prices are getting high each time. We used to sell this bread for about $1. Now it's costing about $2.50. People cannot afford it.
Minister of Industries Mangaliso Ndlovu says he's aware of the problem facing Zimbabweans.
We are currently engaging the baking sector, specifically looking at the issue of bread availability and the price of bread. We are worried that there is always demand for importation of wheat. It is possible to have bread that is 100% Zimbabwean. As government, we are quite keen to see that bread is available at affordable prices to the generality of our people.
Part of the problem is that because of government price controls, wheat millers and bakers lose money when they make their products. As a result, they produce less to minimize their losses. This leads to a bread shortage and higher prices. But Ben Gilpin from the Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union says wheat is a capital-intensive crop and President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government must ensure that it is priced correctly to address Zimbabwe's bread shortages and affordability. He says, among other things, farmers must have the knowledge and tools to revive the agricultural sector, which has struggled since 2000 when the government began to push white commercial farmers off their land and replace them with poorer, less experienced black farmers.
Irrigation infrastructure and obviously the impact of land reform has had its impact on wheat production. It got down to a very low level at one point. It's come up, but for it to grow on a sustainable basis, the bottom line is farmers need a decent price and millers need to cover their costs and contractors need to be able to get the supplies that they need at affordable prices.
While the government, farmers and businesses look for a solution, Zimbabweans like Gibson Nema will have to keep thinking of alternatives. Pumpkins, sweet potatoes, butternuts to have their daily bread, hoping that they too do not get affected by price controls that force shortages. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
Hundreds of Algerian lawyers, many wearing black robes, protested today in Algiers against President Abdelaziz Bouteflika's re-election campaign. About 1,000 lawyers pressed past police barriers to march on the Constitutional Council, the body responsible for approving the candidacy of 21 people registered to run for president. Security forces were deployed, but reports say no arrests were made. Bouteflika is 82 years old and uses a wheelchair. He has been rarely seen in public since suffering a stroke in 2013. His efforts to gain a fifth term in office in the April 18th balloting has been met with waves of protests. Bouteflika has been in Switzerland since last month for what officials describe as routine medical tests. No date for his return has been announced. Some members of Bouteflika's ruling FLN party have appeared at demonstrations. The Constitutional Council must decide by March 14th who may run for president. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization fears that an outbreak of fall armyworm will affect food security in Zimbabwe, where more than 5 million people are already in need of food assistance. As Columbus Mvunga in Harare reports for VOA, one farmer says his crop output has been reduced by 50%.
At Malvin Farm, about an hour drive northeast of Harare, Ntombizodwa Ncube is concerned by four armyworms devouring the corn crop, despite efforts to contain the problem with the chemicals for the third year running.
The armyworm this year is bad. It's really bad. As you can see, our plants have been ravished by these worms. And we are using so many treatments, but it seems it's not working. You expect to yield so much, but with this armyworm, you don't yield much. Most of the crops, as you can see, have been damaged. It's really causing havoc.
Yeko manager Peter Joseph Dzingami is equally concerned.
Makurisi rinoshika this time tari control, but this year rakanyanyisa.
He says in the previous years we would control it, but this year no. It is because there's not much rainfall and the worms are hatching more than previous years. We were expecting 10 to 12 tons of harvest, but we are now expecting 5 to 6 tons of corn, he says. We have no idea where this worm is taking us to, says Dzingami. Unesu Ushewokunze Obatolu, the principal director in the Ministry of Agriculture, says the fall armyworm is one of many transboundary outbreaks Zimbabwe has been fighting over the past 3 years.
The government's approach to managing the fall armyworm outbreak has been to train extension officers and to raise awareness amongst the farming public to contain and manage HPAI and FAW outbreaks. Further, it sought to increase resilience and enhance the productive capacity of smallholder farmers affected by the two scourges.
Judging from the two farmers' testimonies, that program seems to have failed. David Mufoti, the FAO's deputy representative in Zimbabwe, says four armyworms are hard to eliminate.
We cannot actually eradicate, because what it does is when we are in winter, it hibernates in the soil. And when you put up your green crops where it feeds on, it then reoccurs. So it will never eradicate. But our role is to make sure we mitigate the damage in the most effective and cost-effective way.
The four armyworm, which mainly attacks corn, was first discovered in Brazil. Experts suspect that it moved to Africa when the continent imported corn from the United States in response to increased drought. FAO is urging farmers to use green methods to control it. But farmers like Ntombizodwa Ncube and Peter Joseph Zingami say they hope for a permanent solution as soon as possible to ensure their future harvests are not affected. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
Nigeria will follow up last month's presidential and national assembly elections by choosing governors and state assembly representatives Saturday in 29 of the country's 36 states. The ruling All Progressives Congress strengthened its clout by winning the presidency and a majority in the National Assembly. Dr. Williams Wodi is an African Affairs analyst at the University of Port Harcourt. He spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye about the likely effect of the recent elections on the governorship polls. He says people will follow where the victory pattern is emerging.
The voting pattern had always been that if the presidential election is conducted before other elections, the presidential elections usually will have a bandwagon effect. And if you cast your mind back, that was the reason for the National Assembly, that is the 8th Assembly that is now on its way out, insisted at least large numbers of them, especially those from the minority party in the House of Representatives and in the Senate of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, they both insisted that they needed to reorder the polling timetable to ensure that other elections came before the presidential election, because the presidency has so much powers and so much privileges, so much reach, and so much power of networking across around the country, that they wanted to ensure that if other elections held before the presidential election, it was going to give them a level playing ground, as we say in Nigeria. But then the electoral acts didn't allow them to do that, and so the presidential election held first. And now that we have this victory, I am thinking that the pattern that has been established on the Nigerian political space since 1979 at least will repeat itself this time. And the reason is very clear, an electorate that is predominantly not very enlightened, and I say this not in a pejorative term, but I say this because that is the existential reality in Nigeria. Over 78 million people are unable to decide for themselves at the poll. So if you know that the election was won with just less than 29 million votes, so the point is that where you have a predominantly illiterate population, it's difficult for election not to be influenced, but people will follow where the victory pattern is emerging.
Do you also think that the elected governors can affect the federal government? In other words, the impact of governors on the federal government?
No, the governors don't seem to have any impact on the federal government, because the federal government takes about 52% of the national cake. And that's a very strong incentive for them to lord it over all other parts of governance, the state and local government. So I think that as long as the federal government sits at the federal capital territory, that's the capital of Nigeria, Abuja, and dispenses largesse, dispenses favors, and also levies punishment against those it feels are not part of its network, it's difficult. It is not, but this government is always being like that. It's difficult for governors, even those not elected on the platform of the party in power at the center, it is difficult for them to credibly, for them to marginally oppose the federal government. There's no impact. The impact is that once elections are concluded now, the governors that are on the platform of the winning party at the center will align with the party at the center to get more leverage for their own states, while the governors elected on the minority party will have a choice. We have already seen that pattern in Nigeria, where some governors elected on the opposing party to the federal government became wise and went and made friends with the federal government for them to be able to influence allocation of facilities and infrastructure to their states.
How can the federal government and governors synergize to move the country forward?
That is the crux of the matter. The federal government and the state governors in the 36 states and the federal capital territory have never been able to synergize, even if there is a National Council of State, where all the state governors, former heads of state, chief justice and other people meet with the federal government and discuss issues. There, the states take their differences to the National Council of State, and not much has come out of that forum. I think that the best way is that it should be constitutionally enshrined that the governors and the federal government must have some meeting point at some point in the unfolding political space. Because the thing is that if the governors of states operate the way they are operating now, Nigeria itself, that is the development in the country, will suffer as it has always been. The reason being that each governor is proposing his own policy, then the federal government has a different kind of policy thrust. They are moving diametrically opposed directions. It's difficult for them to come together.
That was Dr. Williams Wodi of the University of Port Harcourt speaking with reporter Mike Mbonye. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz, on the Voice of America. I'm Mario Ritter Jr. in Washington. I'm Mario Ritter Jr. in Washington. It is 21 minutes past the hour. Some of the major stories of this half hour. Lawyers protest in Algeria over the president's plan to seek a fifth term. Price of bread has forced Zimbabweans to change their diet. And another deadly bombing in Somalia. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. At least five people were killed and nine others injured today when a car bomb exploded outside a restaurant in Mogadishu near Somalia's presidential palace. Casualty totals come from security officials and the owner of the Deslan restaurant where the explosion occurred. The owner told VOA's Somali service the blast came from an explosives-laden car parked on the street. The restaurant is frequented by government soldiers who control one of the security checkpoints for the presidential palace, about half a kilometer away. Al-Shabaab militants have claimed responsibility for the explosion, saying they killed at least six government soldiers. The blast comes a week after two suicide bombs exploded in the city, killing at least 30 people and injuring 140. About 300 people, most of them albinos, have braved steady rains this week to protest near the residence of Malawi's president, Peter Mutharika. They want a face-to-face meeting with the president to discuss the continued killings of albinos in the southern African country. Lamek Masina reports from Malawi's capital.
The demonstrators braved the incessant rain on Tuesday to protest near the president's home, sometimes bringing traffic to a standstill. Most of them wore black attire and sang songs usually heard during funeral services. They also carried banners and placards with messages like "No more sleeping on albino attacks" and "Same blood, different colors." Ian Simbota is an official with the Association of Persons with Albinism in Malawi, which organized the protest.
We have got several demands. One of it, we want the president to institute a commission of inquiry that must make sure that it exposes the people behind the albino bone cells. Because this problem is still continuing because we haven't managed to kill the market. But if we can kill the market today, I think that will be the beginning of the end of our problem.
The protesters tried to march on Mutalika's residence, but were turned back when the police mounted a human wall about 200 meters from the front gate. Government authorities say they could not allow protests at the State House because it is a protected area. The protesters said that was unfair.
If the president fails to make sure that he safeguards our right to life and security, he must just come out and declare Malawi not a safe home for persons with albinism, then we should seek asylum somewhere because he has failed us.
Albinos in Malawi are targeted over false beliefs that their body parts, when used in so-called magic potions, bring wealth and good luck. Police statistics show that 26 albinos have been killed since 2013, including three in the past 2 months. More than 100 people, some of them children, have faced abductions and grave exhumations. Heather Wickintaba is the chairperson for the Presidential Committee to Protect Albinos. He told VOA that the attacks are a complex issue which should not be left to government alone. He notes that some of those arrested in connection with the attacks are trusted members of the society, such as priests, police officers, and traditional leaders.
Now, if a clergyman, a policeman, a village headman are involved in such atrocities, who can we trust? Not even the fathers or mothers. It is a tragedy for all of us to address.
As of Thursday, the protesters were camping out at the Malawi Institute of Management, about 6 kilometers from the State House, waiting for the president to return from a visit to the north. They have given Mutalika 48 hours to return and meet them. If he doesn't, they say they will march on the State House again. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Lilongwe.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Mario Ritter Jr. in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website, voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Werkinger, and our engineer, Bob McLean, have a good night and enjoy your day.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
voaafrica.com.
On voaafrica.com, the news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
voaafrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.